Me, a cat, moving in with a single guy. At first, I thought it might be a little weird, but turns out it's actually pretty amusing. For instance, like my human's gotten so used to me being around, sometimes I think he forgets I'm here. He'll get up for work, shower, shave, and come out with no pants. Plops right down in front of the TV. Hello, there's a lady in the room.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
In your black Corvette, one hand's upon the wheel, the other puffs a cigarette. You got a map running down your arm, telling you it's time for more. Your veins burn at midnight oil, while your heart plays tug of war. You double down on spinning barrels, how many blanks is it gonna take? I'm making bets with empty walls, if this next one will be your last.
Hi, my name is Will Wiesenfeld. I'm Matt, and you're listening to WMFO Bedford.
The federal government alone spends $4.5 billion a year locking up people for drug offenses. It costs almost $28,000 a year just to incarcerate one prisoner. Compare that to the average annual tuition at a four-year public college, which is $5,491, and you realize that the drug war is blurring our nation's priorities. Taxpayers' money would be much better spent educating people instead of punishing them. But thanks to ever-increasing mandatory minimum drug sentences, an entire class of young people are being filtered into new supermax prisons, while the resulting budget crunch forces the rest of us to go to old, dilapidated schools. The more money we dump into prisons, the less we have to invest in college campuses. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out how you can get involved in the war against the war on drugs.
And a pleasant good afternoon to you wherever you may be. However you may be listening, this is indeed the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, thank you for making this show part of your Monday afternoon, early Monday evening. It's 5:04 and the sun is still out. That's a pretty damn good sign if you ask me, because in just under 3 weeks' time, clock is moving forward. Time is moving forward. And that, in fact, gives me hope for the spring that is to come, because after all, I'm pretty sure most people right about now are tired of the early sunsets and they're tired of the cold weather. I mean, today was pretty brutally cold, and it's only going to get colder tonight. For all of those that are going to be going out tonight, because it is Valentine's Day after all, be safe, stay warm. It's going to be really cold tonight. And if you are tuned into the program now, thank you for choosing to start your Valentine's Day night with the Shukri Wright Show at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636 is the number to call in, as I am here with you for 2 hours until 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern. So, you want to get in touch with me over the next couple of hours? That's the number to get in touch with me, 855-915-9636. Now, I talked about how how time moving forward in a few weeks is the operative word. Time moving forward is something that we all look forward to. We all look forward to, you know, what's to come tomorrow. We all look forward to, hey, what's coming up later this year in the summer? Oh, hey, what's coming up later on as we move forward in the year 2022? But the one thing that as I think about more and more and more is I can't help but wonder, when is America going to move forward? When is America going to finally say enough is enough with the idea of white supremacy and the idea that black people are not allowed to succeed on their own without their merit, without their credit at any given point in time? Because there was something that I really want to get to in terms of what I saw last night in Super Bowl 56. We'll have plenty of time to talk about the game itself and a whole plethora of topics that I have lined up for the program. But there was something that I saw last night that was really disturbing. And I am going to spend a pretty good amount of time to start the show talking about this ad nauseum. And that is the fact that last night I saw the racist amongst us come out in droves that were complaining about not liking the halftime show that was at Super Bowl 56 last night. Reasons that I simply cannot understand. And it bothered me because, one, it was clear that they didn't like it for the simple fact that it was a predominantly black lineup of artists and performers performing at the Super Bowl halftime show sponsored by Pepsi. That was the issue. And I am 100% sure for everyone who is on social media saw the things that I also saw last night. If you saw what I saw, and if you saw all of the people that were complaining about, well, wow, not one single white person, oh, wow, I will never watch the halftime show again. Oh, wow, this is sexual anarchy. Huh? How in the blue blazing hell was the performance of the Super Bowl halftime show last night sexual anarchy? Because if there's one thing that I've learned time and time again, and I'm taking a direct shot at white supremacy here, if you don't like it, you can turn away. But the problem that I legitimately have with the people that were complaining about last night's halftime show is the fact that you were upset because you did not see what you wanted to see. You wanted to see your type, your folks on the stage, not a bunch of headline guys who brought nostalgic, great emotional feeling and remembrance of what a once was and still is a pretty damn good show by folks whose names are legendary in the entertainment business and the music industry that you and I know of. Mary J. Blige, 50 Cent, Eminem, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Kendrick Lamar. It was incredible. It was absolutely incredible to watch, to listen to, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. In actuality, that was the first halftime show that I watched in years. That was the first halftime show in which I literally wanted to just tune in and listen to the songs that were going to be performed at the halftime show. I caught myself bopping to the music. I'm not going to lie to you. I did. Like, I absolutely found myself like, even saying some of the verses, like, I'm like, wow, I remember this song from way back when. Whew, damn. This is from the early 2000s. I remember this from the late 90s. But as I'm going through Twitter last night and even TikTok and other platforms, but especially Twitter, the thing that got me most upset was the people who found reasons to complain. And I mean, it's just, it's amazing to me how we have to continue to have this conversation over and over and over again because people do not want to understand or acknowledge the fact that, hey, people who are black and brown can do this. People who are black and brown do have a right to succeed. They have a right to perform at the highest platform possible, that is Super Bowl. You have morons like Sean Spicer who tweeted out, "Dear NFL, Pepsi, what was the message of the halftime show?" Hey, you moron, there was no particular message. Actually, there was. There was, as a matter of fact. The message was for those who like to completely whitewash the sole purpose of that was to, in fact, send a statement to the NFL. Like, let me first quickly state that you realize that Jay-Z and Roc Nation is black-owned, right? By and large part. It is predominantly black-owned. And you think that it was coincidence that, with the exception of Eminem being the only Caucasian performer at the halftime show last night, that everyone else was black? And oh, by the way, they also happen to have a woman there, Mary J. Blige. Yeah, because the NFL, as much as we talk about them being the antithesis of what is right and clearly not the moral standard for what is good and right in this world, the NFL didn't have a choice but to go along with it. They didn't have a choice. So therefore, they went along with the performers and everything that went on last night, because there was nothing that was wrong with the halftime show at all whatsoever. Zero. Nothing wrong with it. The people who have a problem with it were the people who were flat out racist. Yes, flat out racist. And if you find offense to that, maybe you need to take a nice gander at yourself as to why exactly do you have a problem with it. But it's not children friendly. I'm sorry, have I forgotten something or have I missed something? Have we not seen enough halftime shows to have an understanding that halftime shows in the Super Bowl are not made for children and that there was nothing remotely inappropriate that was going on? Oh, but what about the cursing? Hey, you idiot, you realize that musicians curse in their music? Right? Right? Oh, okay. Right, right. Oh, that's right. You remember some guy named Elvis Presley? Oh, okay. Right, right, right. He didn't curse in his music, but if you look back on his life and what he was, the man was a raging racist. I mean, let's not play holier than thou, please. Let's not do that. Because there's plenty of feelings that could be hurt in this particular moment. But I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there at all. And then you have idiots like Tina Stout who go on and say, "The Super Bowl halftime show sucks big time. And racist halftime show ever, no white people." I laughed so hard when I saw that. I said to myself, really? So Eminem is not white? So let me understand this correctly. The fact that this individual said, and there were people who thought like her, who acted the same sentiments, there was no white person there. Also, Eminem's not white? So what are you trying to say? What are you implying in that statement? Sincerely, What are you trying to say? That Eminem, because he raps, he is basically well integrated into black culture, that is hip hop. He is not as white as you are. What is this, the white puritist like society or something? Come on, stop it. Just stop. The conservative MUA. Eminem was the only white person in the entire performance. Well, again, Eminem was the one individual who happened to be Caucasian that was there. And again, the fact that it was 95% black African-American was not by accident. And then there's also this guy who his Twitter handle is a joke. Why are Hall making it a point to have absolutely no white people in the halftime show? Listen, I swear some of these people didn't go to school for grammar. And for those of you that are listening and are still listening, you're probably like, wait, what kind of English is that? Exactly. This is the tweet that I'm literally reading to you that was tweeted out last night. And I kept it, by the way. Why Hall making it a point to have absolutely no white people in the halftime show? Like, y'all are amazing. But the point of this entire segment really is this. Diversity is a good thing. Yes, diversity that has nothing to do with you. Not everything has to do with you. And you can't handle one halftime show where it's predominantly black? What does that say about you? Not the NFL, not the Pepsi halftime show, not Jay-Z Rock Nation. What does that have to say about you? It says that you are a racist, that you can't handle the fact that people who don't look like you are given the platform to succeed, in which they already have been succeeding before they showed up last night at SoFi Stadium. That's the problem. Like, it bothers me to no end that we still have to have this conversation in 2022. Like, you wonder why we're still having a conversation? Because of you. You, not black people, not people who look differently from you and I, because of you. The races that are amongst us who absolutely refuse to acknowledge and accept and embrace anything that is remotely good or even different from them. Because everything has to do with them. It's about them. It's not about you. It was never about you. Wake up, baby, and smell the damn roses, because guess what? It's a new day in America. And that day arrived. That day arrived. I'm going to take a break here. Coming up next, we're going to talk about Super Bowl 56 and some of the things that happened in last night's game that really came to fruition that I talked about on yesterday's show that I'm going to get into further details with you on. That's coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show at 91.5 FM WMFO. In Medford, Tuss Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app, globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in, as always, is 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Amazing. Truly amazing. I find it incredible whenever I talk people, tell people about, like, as to like why this is such a problem and why this is such a topic that needs to be talked about and so forth. Suddenly people want to just tune away and just stop listening. Oh man. But not my problem. But also for those who are still here with me, I appreciate you, you know, staying alongside to listen to the program and whatnot, and whatnot. So during this segment, I want to talk about the game last night. It was a tremendous game. And before I even get into it, I'm not talking about how you may personally feel that the game was rigged, because I think it's a bunch of baloney at this point. And it's really taken a lot for me not to curse just within the first 20 minutes of the show. So I'm going to exercise discipline and control myself, as I am in absolutely no mood to even entertain the idea in any nonsense of, the game was rigged, the referee stole the game for the Bengals. No, that didn't happen last night. Yes, we both watched the same game, unless your perception of the game was completely warped by the idea that every referee that officiates a big game has it in them for them. Last night was not the case whatsoever. It just wasn't. So, what happened? What happened to Super Bowl 56? Well, I'll tell you what happened. The biggest concern that I talked about in yesterday's show, and for those who missed it, I was on the air yesterday on Super Bowl Sunday from noon to 1 p.m. yesterday, and I talked about this, in which, if there is one area of concern that I was most worried about, it was the Bengals' offensive line. And when I tell you that, oh my God, that concern came to light, oh, did it ever. Did it ever. Wow. Like, think about this for a moment. Yesterday's game, especially in the fourth quarter, the Bengals, out of the seven final drives that they had in that game, I believe five of them ended in punts. But Joe Burrow also got sacked, I believe, five times on the last seven drives. Something along those lines. But Joe Burrow got sacked seven times in the game yesterday. And that in itself was basically a microcosm to the issue that is the Bengals offensive line. And I talked about this yesterday, but I realized now that the game has ended and the game is over and we have time to finally collect our breaths and, you know, put things into proper perspective, I think it's fair to say that the glaring weakness of the Bengals ultimately cost them yesterday, the offensive line. You know what's amazing? And I've talked about this before. Between the offensive line and the Los Angeles Rams front seven and their pass rush, their ability to get to the quarterback, I'll tell you what, man, listen. It became the storyline in the second half of the game yesterday. Even though the Bengals scored on that 75-yard touchdown pass from Burrow to T. Higgins, and despite it not being a face mask call, which was 100% missed, despite the Bengals taking the lead, I felt like the Rams did a pretty good job of maintaining pressure against Joe Burrow. I mean, Aaron Donald, if you're going to ask me, 100% should have won the Super Bowl MVP yesterday, not Cooper Kupp. Now, Cooper Kupp got the award because he scored the game-winning touchdown, and he was the best receiver in the NFL in 2021. He had an all-time great season and so forth. But to everyone and the hundreds of millions of people who watched the game yesterday, it's pretty obvious and pretty clear that the Rams won this game because of Aaron Donald, not Cooper Kupp. We can sit here and talk about stats. Yeah, that sounds nice. We can talk numbers. But I'm going to talk about what I saw. What I saw in the fourth quarter was Aaron Donald essentially willing his way into the backfield of the Cincinnati Bengals and getting to Joe Burrow. What I saw was Von Miller stepping up huge, just like he did in Super Bowl 50 while he was with the Denver Broncos against the Carolina Panthers. What I saw was Aaron Donald rushing the quarterback, playing the run to an absolute masterpiece. And what I also saw was a player that showed the world exactly why he is viewed as arguably the second greatest player, a second greatest defensive player in NFL history. The greatest of all time defensively is Lawrence Taylor still. But 1A is Lawrence Taylor. And after last night, 1B, no question, is Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald put on an absolute clinic, playing the run, rushing the quarterback, creating pressure. And when you needed him to step up the most, he stepped up the most. And what more can you possibly ask for? What more can you possibly ask for a guy who, I believe, the more that you think about it, the more you realize just how special of a pass rusher he is. And this is a guy who plays on the interior. You can make a case that he's the best interior defensive lineman in NFL history. I think he is, if you ask me. Now, this is no disrespect to Reggie White, one of the great pass rushers the league has ever seen and ever known. But we're talking about interior linemen. You name one interior lineman who has had more of an impact on a game, on the game that he's playing in, more than Aaron Donald has within the last 10 years. I'll wait. You can't name one. You can't. If you have any thoughts, you want to add into the conversation, you can and you're welcome to. You can call in at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. Whew! I tell you. Folks, young kids, if you want a textbook to gloss over and read over as to how to take over a game on a defensive side of the ball, go on YouTube. Type in Aaron Donald, Super Bowl 56. He literally gave you the recipe as to how he did it. And the offensive line of the Cincinnati Bengals, as the quarter went on, especially as you got inside 5 minutes left in the game, Aaron Donald essentially willed the Los Angeles Rams into winning that game defensively. And it was just a beautiful thing to see. You talk about that last play on that fourth and one play when Aaron Donald basically, after the end of the play, he got up and he started pointing to his ring finger and saying, "Put a ring on it. I want that Super Bowl ring." I'm telling you, game changer. Absolute game changer. Oh, man, this is going to be a phenomenal Monday after the Super Bowl. I'm still trying to get my whereabouts after that first segment, because that first segment, man, it got me fired up, and I had to get that all off my chest, and I'm glad I did. I need to have that honest conversation. And we are going to continue the show after we have this music break. Coming up next, what the Bengals need to do in order to get back to the Super Bowl. I want to give you some thoughts on some of the things that I saw last night and some things that the Bengals need to do in the offseason that has to change. That and much more coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show at 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Christian.
And Ryan.
From Group Love, and you're listening to 91.5 FM.
WMFO, Medford.
Take me to your best friend's house, going round this roundabout, oh yeah.
Tufts Freeform Radio.
Bad women, you don't have that kind of knowledge. You understand? Look at that, look. Ooh. Man, now that is a box.
You can do nothing with the others, you can do nothing.
Look at you, what is doing? I thought I told him to go home. What is he knowing? What? Well, look at you, she gonna pass him up. Back up. What did you? Ah, look at you. Hey!
How you doing, man?
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Free Form Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Because it's Valentine's Day and I really want to try to, you know, uplift my energy in my spirits during this show on a February night that happens to be Valentine's Day. I am, for the remainder of the show, I'm going to play a lot of love-themed songs. A lot of them are going to be classics. Obviously, it's a sports talk show, but when I go on music break, a lot of it's going to be, you know, like classic, like Michael Jackson or, you know, maybe some Bill Withers and so forth. Because either way, like, it's a pretty big night. And tomorrow is a pretty big anniversary for me personally. And I absolutely should be in a much better space than I have been. But I don't know why I am like tonight for some reason I am just kind of a little bit off my A game. But I'm doing my best to literally fight through it. And I am going to continue to, you know, fight my way through this and get better and continue to get better. So, 5 years ago tonight, I made the decision that I was going to make the move here to Boston 5 years ago tonight. And it's a pretty significant anniversary for me personally because I had a dream, and I have a dream. And that was to move here and to jumpstart my radio broadcasting career here in this region. And 5 years ago tonight, I had no idea that I was going to make that move and how things were going to go. I had no clue. And there's been a lot of ups, a lot of downs. But if I were to rewind the clock 5 years ago at this time, 5 years ago on this date, at this very moment in time, I can tell you that I fully remember just how excited I was feeling, just how elated and joyful that I was feeling, making a move to a city and a region that I absolutely fell in love with, visiting during the period of May 14, 2014, up until February 5th, 2017. And I'll be the first to tell you that, man, what a ride it's been. I can't believe it's going to be 5 years tomorrow that I have officially landed or arrived in this city as a 25-year-old with dreams and aspirations, not knowing what the heck he was getting himself into. So, 5 years ago tonight, I left my old job and in search and journey of what I ultimately want to do. And it's led me directly up until this moment. And I realize in this very moment, 5 years later, I am doing my own sports radio show, host my own sports podcast, doing play-by-play of games. Man, what a journey. What a journey it's been so far. Call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. 5 years ago, if you told me that I was going to host my own radio show on Valentine's Day night, I wouldn't have believed. I would have told you, no way. No way. 5 years? In 5 years, Shook B. Wright was going to be hosting his own sports radio show on Valentine's Day. Nah. Although I believed in my dream, but I guess there was a bit of trepidation and a bit of unsureness as to how that was going to be and how that was going to come to pass. But it came to pass. So I guess this is my way of putting it out into the universe in terms of my story and my journey 5 years into this, half of a decade. Like, I mean, a lot has changed over the 5 years that I've been living here. But it has been truly an honor and a blessing, all in one. And I'll be the first to tell you that even as I talk about it now, and I know I was going to talk about the Super Bowl and so forth, but I really want to have an opportunity to really talk about what I want to talk about. Like, for the remainder of the show, it's about just talking. It's about just talk about whatever. We'll talk about the game. We'll talk about life in itself. At this point, be loose. Be loose. Enjoy myself. Because it is such a powerful feeling and a powerful emotion to think that 5 years ago that I wanted to move to Boston, which I did, and still live in Metro Boston. I live in Brookline now. That I was going to end up hosting my own radio show. That people would end up stopping me, like, in the streets randomly saying that I recognize you. I recognize the stuff that you do on Twitter. I wouldn't have believed you. So it truly is amazing. And by no shape and form am I bragging. But I'm not going to dim my light whatsoever. I'm not going to apologize for the fact that I'm looking at myself and I'm saying to myself, wow, 5 years. 5 years. How? I mean, 5 years does fly by so quickly. If you want to call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636, I'll go on for another couple of minutes before I transition to hour number two of the program. And let me tell you something. It's astounding. It truly is. When you begin to think about how you saw your life and envisioned your life turning into be and turning what it turned out to be so far, knowing that your journey is not done, I think it's just incredible. I think it's incredible to even be sitting here behind a radio mic in a radio station in the midst of what has now turned into a 2-year pandemic doing a sports talk radio show. I mean, goodness grief. If there was ever a time that I had to remind myself this, I had to remember and put things into perspective, it would be now. And I just think that it's so important because I forget that. Because I'm in such a battle right now, whereas I want to do this for a living. This is my career. That I forget to just stop for a moment and just smell the roses, you know, like just take things in for what it is and stop along the way and acknowledge that, dude, you have come a long way in just 2.5 years. And that's just a God honest truth, Shu. I really do forget that. And for those of you who are heading out tonight, and I know a lot of you are, you know, you take the time to listen to the program. I sincerely appreciate it. I want to say thank you. And for those who have taken the time to to listen to the program while you're getting ready to enjoy your night with your loved one and so forth, I'm not foolish. I know this is a special night for a lot of people. It is. And I appreciate those who have taken the time to just listen in for a few minutes. I appreciate it. Because ultimately, all in all, it's about getting better and continuing to improve upon my craft. Excuse me. You know, like, I know that I'm a person who, you know, I try to work hard to, you know, eliminate the stutter or the mumble and so forth. And you can only do that through reps or through getting better. That's what you can do. Continue to just get better at what you do and just stop every now and then. And this is a reminder to myself, first and foremost, before anybody else out there. Stop every now and then and just acknowledge where you were, how far you've come, and just smile through it all. I think that is so important. And I think it's imperative that I do that more often. And I think that ultimately, it will be a good thing to practice here on out. On this Valentine's Day night, stay safe out there. Coming up next, hour number two of the program. It's Valentine's Day. At this point, like I said, I'm going to talk about the Super Bowl, but it will not be a sports-dominated conversation for the final hour of the program. So if you want to chime in, you can. 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Hour number two of the Shukri Wright Show coming up next. Don't go anywhere. 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.